to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Armra Colostrum. We live in an environment our biology was never designed for. My friends and I used to talk about how Brumlin Brown is the sweet butter substitute. And if a caveman came across Brumlin Brown coming out of the side of a tree, he'd kill everybody with him to make sure that nobody knew about the tree but him.
Okay.
And it's forgettable to us. The point is, there's modern assaults on our health that negatively impact our gut health and our overall health. Colostrum is nature's first whole food with over 400 bioactive nutrients that work at the cellular level to reactivate your body's innate capacity to regenerate and thrive. Armor Colostrum aims to revive cellular signaling, bolstering our health from within to defend against everyday threats. Probiotics and other supplements are touted as a gut health solution, but most products on the market are dead before they even reach your gut. Armor Colostrum naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system and optimizes your whole body microbiome, which helps guard against irritants that can trigger digestive issues and compromise your immune system. Research has shown that colostrum helps enhance nutrient absorption. Armor Colostrum can help stabilize blood sugar levels, modulate hormones, and ignite your metabolism. Colostrum bioactives have been shown to reactivate hair follicles and activate collagen production, promoting hair growth and enhancing skin radiance. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/loveit or enter love it to get 15% off your first order. Tryarmra.com/loveit. TryArmra.com/loveit. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live from the Elysian Theater. As Pharaoh once said, man, Passover really snuck up on me. So we'll be flying through this pack show so quickly the bread won't have time to rise. Our plagues, measles, bird flu, and microplastics, so far. Our bread of affliction, the vegan recipe we tried to bake with applesauce instead of eggs, and nutritional yeast instead of tasting good. Welcome to Love It or Leave It's 2025 Passover Seder. Oh. Unbelievable. That was the Hava Nagila bagpipes from our Shiva episode for Queen Elizabeth II. Robbie Hoffman, Rachel Bloom, and Elijah are here. We'll ask the four questions, and my mother and soon-to-be mother-in-law will, and this is for real, meet for the first time on this stage. And with that, we'll say Dayenu. But first, let's get into it. What a week. In the wake of Trump's announcement of a trade war against every country on earth, as markets plummeted, companies announced layoffs, and retirees looked for early bird specials on gourmet dog food, the right wing defended their best boy.
You have to just let him do what he's going to do, give him some time, because he is a businessman, he's a billionaire, he knows what he's doing.
Just close your eyes and think of England. Stop pointing out all these grease fires and let the man cook. Treasury Secretary and bad gay Scott Bessent had this to say on NBC Sunday.
We had record volume on Friday, and everything is working very smoothly, so the American people, they can take great comfort in that.
Good news, everybody. The paper shredder your tie is stuck in is working perfectly. It's successfully pulling your face toward the gnashing metal teeth with aplomb. It's eating that tie while you scream and claw at the machine like it's nothing. Wire cutter, your recommendation is crushed once again. Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick offered this exciting vision for the future on Sunday.
Remember, the army of millions and millions of human beings screwing in little screws to make iPhones, that kind of thing is going to come to America.
USA, USA. What a beautiful vision for the future. I would just point out that Howard Lutnick has not worked a day in his life outside of finance. He ran the firm Cantor Fitzgerald, over which he gained control after a bitter dispute with Iris Cantor, the wife of the firm's founder. They battled in court for years. She barred him from her husband's funeral. But Cantor Fitzgerald is best known for having lost 658 people on 9/11, including Lutnick's own brother. He became well known because of a moving interview he gave with Connie Chung on September 14th, 2001.
So while I'm the head of the company, I'm trying to help my 700 employees who are missing their loved ones. I'm just another one of them. Just another one of them.
The interview became infamous. Does anybody here remember why? I'll tell you why. Cantor Fitzgerald removed the names of those 658 employees from the payroll on September 15th. Yeah. There was an outcry, and the firm ultimately set aside some profits for the families of employees who died. But it was devastating for families whose loved ones were still technically considered missing. And it tells you something about the ruthlessness of this person and the focus on the bottom line. Another revealing fact about Howard Lutnick, he's from fucking Jericho. Audience from Long Island nods their heads so hard they have to go to the hospital. There has been some tension. Elon Musk said on Saturday that he hoped for a zero tariff situation between the US and the EU and spent the following days feuding with Trump's trade advisor, Peter Navarro. One thing about a Trump presidency, there will always be two crabs in a bucket scrapping it out. But which crabs? That's what keeps it fresh. By early this week, Musk was estimated to have lost around $31 billion since Trump announced the tariffs that Navarro championed. And you all thought the tariffs had no conceivable upside. Shame on you. On Saturday, Musk publicly criticized Navarro on X, writing, "A PhD in econ from Harvard is a bad thing, not a good thing." I feel like it's actually a neutral thing that's often wielded by bad people, like alternative medicine or the speakerphone function. Then on Monday, Navarro took a shot at Musk during an interview on CNBC, saying this.
But he's not a car manufacturer. He's a car assembler. A good part of the engines that he gets, which in the EV case is the batteries, come from Japan and come from China. The electronics come from Taiwan.
The Cybertruck panels that keep falling off come from Mexico, but the glue that doesn't hold them on comes from South Korea. Musk on Tuesday replied to a video of the interview on X, saying that Navarro was truly a moron and dumber than a sack of bricks. And thanks to Trump's tariffs,
price of the brick going up.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt, no relation, was asked about the ongoing squabble.
These are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue. And you guys should all be very grateful that we have the most transparent administration in history.
First of all, the combined age of these boys is 128 years old. Second, it's true, these idiots are fighting in public and the chaos inside of the White House is spilling out into the open. But that's a superficial kind of openness. It's democracy theater, not democracy itself. It's Real Housewives transparency when what we need is Panama Papers transparency. Because on the same day, Levitt, no relation, described the administration as the most transparent in history, Trump signed a memo directing his agency heads to repeal a raft of environmental regulations and other rules. That directive also said that as they go through the books removing regulations that they claim to be unlawful, agency heads shall finalize rules without notice and comment. In other words, Trump just issued an order telling his agency heads to get rid of regulations in secret without giving the public an opportunity to know about it, let alone have a comment about it. They've boarded up all the windows and sent two clowns outside to punch each other in the dicks. But those are the clowns they want us to see. But what of the inside clowns? What of their dicks? Speaking of dicks, during a speech at the NRCC dinner on Tuesday night, Trump bragged that global leaders were desperate to make a deal.
I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir.
Please, sir, please, please put the pin back into the grenade you're holding between your butt cheeks. Everybody wins if you put that pin back into the ass grenade. On Wednesday morning, as the stock market's chaos continued, the president wrote on Truth Social, "Be cool. Everything is going to work out well. The USA will be bigger and better than ever before. We just have to be cool."
Tell that bitch to be cool.
I'm gonna kill you.
Say, bitch, be cool.
Be cool, honey.
Say, bitch, be cool.
Be cool.
Tell that fucking bitch to chill.
Be cool. Meanwhile, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon was asked on Wednesday whether he thought a recession was likely and replied, "I am going to defer to my economists at this point, but I think probably." Joining us now are those economists. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on... Just a reminder, you can watch our Love It or Leave It live show on YouTube. Every week to see this and other hilarious visual punchlines. Just stop by YouTube at Love It or Leave It podcast and check it out. Then later on Wednesday, Trump fully blinked, announcing a 90-day pause of reciprocal tariffs on all countries except for China, whose tariffs he raised to 125%. Oh, wait, hold on one second. Johan, it's Love It. I'm sorry to call so early in Zurich. Bad news. I know last week we decided to open a chocolate factory in East St. Louis. I know, I'm really disappointed too. They said the tariffs were here to stay. Hey, Johan, don't cry. I do think we'll always be friends. Best to Ursina and little Albrecht. Let's not call it Auf Wiedersehen. Let's call it goodbye forever. Why did Trump back down, you ask? If that joke worked, Hallie had to buy me a sandwich. If it didn't work, I have to buy Hallie a sandwich. I think you fucking won. Fuck. Why did Trump back down, you ask? Was it because those other countries negotiated awesome deals? It was not.
Can you walk us through your thinking about why you decided to put a 90-day pause?
Well, I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid.
Yeah, people get squirrely when you dump all their money in a big toilet and say, "I am going to flush this." The president continued.
They will be fair deals for everybody, but they weren't fair to the United States. They were sucking us dry, and you can't do that.
They were sucking us dry, negative. And now they're sucking us dry, positive. My whole family is here. Stocks immediately climbed after Trump's reversal, which helped make sense of Trump's Truth Social post from earlier that morning that said, "This is a great time to buy." Signed DJT, Trump innovating in the insider trading space by posting this on the internet. Internet-sider trading, if you will. Health Secretary RFK Jr. finally changed his tune on the measles vaccine after a second child died of the illness, writing in a Sunday X post, "The most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine." RFK Jr. explained that his target number of dead kids was 2. Anti-vax activist Sherry Tenpenny, who once claimed during an Ohio legislative hearing that COVID vaccine caused patients to become magnetized, wrote in response, "I'm sorry, but there is no defense for this poorly worded statement. Gee, I guess magnet lady found RFK Jr.'s new position polarizing." In a Tuesday CBS News interview, Kennedy publicly urged people to get the measles vaccine for the first time since becoming health secretary.
"It's one thing to say the measles vaccine is the best way of preventing spread, but it's another thing to then say, and therefore, we suggest that you get the measles vaccine."
We encourage people to get the measles vaccine.
Okay, so that, I mean, I think that's actually the next step, and that's news as far as I'm concerned, that you're saying that.
"I'm still learning and evolving," replied RFK Jr. while slurping down a whole goldfish through a boba straw. I do want to say, you know, when somebody does something you've asked them to do, even if it's ridiculous that we had to ask, and even if it's abominable that we're in this position, we do express our gratitude. The thank you carcass
is in the mail. Last month, Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, a legal resident who has been in the U.S. since 2011, was deported to Sicop, the Salvadorian megaprison. The White House admitted Garcia was deported due to an administrative error, but claimed they do not have the authority to retrieve him because he is now in the custody of El Salvador, a classic case of not it. A judge ordered the Trump White House to bring the Maryland man back by midnight Monday, but the Supreme Court issued a temporary stay on that ruling. And then on Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that the U.S. government must facilitate Abrego Garcia's return in an unsigned order. In a separate statement, the three liberal justices went further, saying the court was wrong to stay the Monday order and that Abrego Garcia deserves the full due process he was denied. And that's three more thank you carcasses in the mail from Crooked Media. Just do want to stop and say that all nine justices have now said in two separate rulings that everyone deserves a measure of due process, that the administration cannot just remove people without giving people enough time to have their objections heard in court, and that removing someone to a jail in El Salvador does not mean that the administration does not have a responsibility to try to correct that mistake. Because what the Trump administration position is they can take anyone off the street, claim that because they are an undocumented immigrant, they can be deported without seeing a judge, they can be sent to a prison in El Salvador, and once handed over to El Salvador, they no longer have the ability to bring that person back, and U.S. courts no longer have the ability to question it. It is as clear as day a means of saying that they can basically deport people and imprison American citizens without anyone having the ability to ever question it or stop it. And this is nine Supreme Court justices saying that that is not going to fly. And all the claims that this is that these are activist judges, they are now what? They're going to claim Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett and the other one, Gorsuch, that these are all liberal activist judges? That's all. Just fuck them. All right. Also this week, the Supreme Court vacated Judge James Boasberg's temporary ban on the Trump administration's attempt to deport Venezuelan immigrants using the Alien Enemies Act. The Trump administration claimed victory, but all nine justices also made clear that the administration must notify immigrants that they're facing deportation ahead of time so they can challenge the government's decision. The court unanimously agrees, in other words, that everyone is due some sort of process. These have been decisions with something for everybody, and by the same token, satisfying to no one, like a protein brownie or salmon with frosting on it. And if you've been following the story of Andre Hernandez Romero, the gay makeup artist sent to El Salvador after an investigator with CoreCivic, which contracts with ICE, signed off on the claim he was in Trendaragua, it turns out that that investigator was once a Milwaukee cop so shady, county prosecutors flagged him as too unreliable to testify in court. Are you so terrible at being a cop that even other cops are like, woof, I don't know about this guy? An exciting career awaits you at ICE. Apparently, this guy left the force after drunkenly driving his car into a literal home while being investigated for lying about overtime, and was convicted for kicking in the door of an apartment and threatening to kill himself with his service revolver in front of his girlfriend. Now he's sending immigrants to a mega prison based on their tattoos, said everybody in his high school reunion. Yeah, seems about right. So as Trump tanks the global economy and his administration terrorizes legal immigrants, Fox News continues to be laser focused on the most important topic of the day, gender. Here we have Fox News' gender chaos headlines. The network had to dig through second and third tier sports to find enough trans athletes to freak the squares this week, railing against trans women playing in a women's pool tournament and a fencing competition. Pool, a sport that famously hinges on the sheer physical strength of the competitor. The most jacked person who hits the balls the hardest wins. Pool. Here we have a clip from Fox News. Bravo! But we got in trouble. Yeah, that's right. Music man. But good news, the solution to gender confusion exists is a stiff dose of international trade barriers. This is an actual Fox News chyron from this week. Trump's manly tariffs, pundit believes it could reverse crisis in masculinity. Because men need to get out of the office and back to the factory floor.
When you sit behind a screen all day, it makes you a woman. Studies have shown this. Studies have shown this. And if you're out working, like building robots like Harold, you are around other guys. You're not around HR ladies and lawyers.
What do you
do? Gives you estrogen.
What do you
do? Let me finish, Judge.
You sit behind a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get his ass, Judge Jeanine Pirro. Fuck. Whatever. In other news, Nintendo paused pre-orders of their Switch 2 in the US, Canada, and China in response to Trump's tariff threats. Unacceptable. Just wait till my father, Bowser, hears about this. GameStop CEO Ryan Cohen, himself a vocal Trump fan, tweeted, "These tariffs are turning me into a Dem along with the rainbow emoji." He may be the CEO of GameStop, but he doesn't like it when the games stop. A pair of nearly 100-year-old Galapagos tortoises at the Philadelphia Zoo have become parents for the first time, cried the tortoises' mothers. Finally. And by a very sweet coincidence, the baby tortoise's face looks almost identical to that of Gavin, the zoo's loneliest maintenance man. Gavin, fuck that turtle. Up next, guess who's coming to Seder? It's Robbie Hoffman and Rachel Bloom.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can feel like a big investment, but the state of your mind is just as important as your physical health. Let's talk numbers. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, which adds up fast. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury. With online therapy, you can get quality care at a price that makes sense and can help you with anything from anxiety to everyday stress. Your mental health is worth it, and now it's within reach. I've benefited from therapy. John, you've benefited from therapy.
Sure have. Sure am.
You can learn positive coping skills. I gotta get a therapy session back on the books. I know
Book
I'm not doing
it.
What a, I'm not doing what a weekday anymore. My therapy slot's back open.
There you go.
My therapist texted me. I
she
gotta text her back.
She said, "I noticed there's no more what a week. Why don't you come in?"
Well, my therapist was like, "You got engaged?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm doing great. I don't need
to." Do you want to talk about it?
I do actually. Anyway, therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. Everybody could benefit from it. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. It's convenient, too. You can join sessions with the click of a button, helping you to fit therapy into your busy life, plus switch therapists at any time. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/loveit to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/loveit. And we're back. Before we bring out Rachel and Robbie, my nephew Bennett is here. And unless the cast of Young Sheldon has finally responded to my many invitations, he is almost certainly the youngest person in attendance, which means he gets to ask the four questions of the Love It or Leave It Passover Seder. Bennett, can you please stand and help us out? Here, I have this on a card for you. Would you like to ask the first question?
How is this live show different from all other live shows?
I don't know. We kind of created a Passover gimmick for it because our parents were coming and all the guests were Jews. What's the second question?
Will you tell my mom to let me get a dog?
What do you think? No. It's a no. I tried. Third question?
Why hasn't Love It or Leave It become a TV show?
Well, that sucks. I mean, we took it out, but it was right before the pandemic. It's a tough time in the industry. What's the last question?
What is my birthday?
Thank you, Bennett. Great job on the fourth question. Please welcome to the stage Rachel Bloom and Robbie Hoffman. Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Hello.
This is nice. Look at that. My picture there. Beautiful. What a good looking picture that was. I took a good picture. Skin looks great. Love it.
Hi.
How are you?
Robbie, you're in a brand new series called Dying for Sex.
Yes.
Congratulations.
In addition to Hacks, which is premiering right now, and I'm here with you.
Wow. Thank
Big
you.
Big role on Hacks.
Big role on Hacks?
Big role. I think I'm in almost every episode.
Wow.
So was she. You know.
The title is a little bit ironic because they're very talented.
Wait, what's... Oh.
Now...
I love your wedding ring.
Oh, thank you. It's an engagement. Yeah, it's my engagement ring there, yeah.
So wait, but you're the boy in the relationship?
Because
I'm the boy in mine, as everybody
knows.
No,
for sure. Well, that's an interesting question. I think it's really kind of... I think on some questions you would say yes, but in others,
let
no.
me see the part, and I'll decide right away. I know.
What?
I'll say who's the boy, who's the girl in the relationship.
Okay, we'll just get into some sort of giant metal okay. or glass cube, and you can observe us for a while, and then
fantastic,
and then tell us
fantastic.
which gender role you
but
think.
This is very girl moves that you're wearing the ring.
Well, we're both wearing rings.
Hmm. You know when gay people are really gay? Like, it throws me off. I'm like, but what, you know, who's the girl, who's the boy? Like, I'm like still like, well, don't actually be gay.
Who's the girl, who's the boy is what a man in a cowboy hat asks you on a plane.
No.
All right.
See, now, for me, I feel like I'm so immersed in I don't know, I have a lot of queer friends, but also queer culture. I said to my husband the other day, I was like, well, I'm the bottom. And I'm just married to a man. I'm just married
exactly.
to a cis man. Yeah, I'm the bottom.
You're the bottom.
I was like, I'm not a top. And he was like, yeah.
Men are the tops and women are the bottom.
But I guess there are some, I could be the top. I've never pegged my husband.
There's always, we speak.
It's come up as a possibility. I don't currently crave that power dynamic.
Does he?
He does not. Not. He's not, no.
Because you know, I had a boy once, he wanted me to put a plastic bag on my finger and I should put it up him.
Maybe Bennett should leave.
Sorry.
Get him out.
Oh, God.
Cover his ears. He's
covering
his ears.
Instantly forgot about the child. I'm so sorry.
I don't know. We didn't think of condom something. We were only like, you know, I mean, we were of age to think of a condom. I was maybe 21 when this happened.
I hear the prostate is a beautiful experience.
But he brought out like a Ralph's bag. Like a plastic bag.
I've only asked one question, and it's, so I understand you're in a new show.
Yes.
Now,
it's getting fantastic reviews. I'm thrilled about it. Dying for Sex on Hulu and Hacks on HBO Max.
Well, the thing about the Dying for Sex is about a woman trying to become sexually liberated while dealing with cancer. And it raised a question, which is, can people have sex when they're tired?
No, but you know what? Me and my wife...
It's not possible,
me and my
right?
wife,
it's never been
we
done.
We're so honest with each other. Like, I'll pitch... We do this thing because I used to think I was very open with sex. I thought I'm open. I'm sexual. But I don't talk... I won't, like, say, oh, should we hook up tonight? Like, I don't speak such things. In a weird way, I'm like, I guess that's what they mean when you're talking about it. I guess I would, like, you know, do the moves. Like, we're in bed, like... But I would never like pitch to her like, oh, we have the night off. Like, do you want to fool around tonight? Now I do that.
Huh.
So I'm like, oh, I'm talking about sex in a way like it felt like so weird to pitch it unless it happens organically.
That's marriage.
Which it has.
You start talking about it. You start planning for it.
Yeah. So because we like the organic and we also like this because this is kind of exciting too. I'll realize, oh, we're getting off early, pun intended. And I don't know if she has anything going on, but I'm like, maybe I'll make dinner or something. So we do that. And I don't even know what the point of this was, but if we're tired, if she does the pitch to me, if we had sex or whatever, if I'm tired and we haven't had sex, okay, I'm tired 2 minutes, I'll get over it. I'm tired the beginning part and then I don't realize I'm tired.
Yeah.
But if we just recent and then we say, oh, and she goes, she normally goes, me too. I was just checking.
When you say recent, are you talking about like earlier that hour? Or are you
no,
saying like
this
within,
was
the,
within the last couple of days?
Nice.
Yeah.
Rachel, in your book, you talk about worrying about what happens if you masturbate to porn while pregnant in case your fetus is somehow imprinted by the porn you watch.
I forgot that I wrote that, but that was very, very smart. And now that's a worry that I'll have again.
Did you put it into the book to kind of get rid of it?
I think I did. I think that's how I deal with a lot of my intrusive thoughts. That's funny. Yeah. Well, now she's five, and she's not into porn. So I guess that answers my question.
I have a question for you, Rachel.
Please.
So did you have sex when you were pregnant? Is you horny?
Yes.
You had okay, so do you consider that a threesome?
That's a no. No,
because you were worried she was thinking back then. So you think she was like, "Oh, Dad's dick is here now. We gotta."
Dad. Well, the good thing is, something. If they can see the dick, something.
She
is
can.
Very,
I mean, she's right there.
No,
probably.
No, no. But it shouldn't. Something would be very wrong if a dick was going into the uterus. That could probably cause sepsis. Is there
a
doctor?
It's such a thin film.
That would probably cause because it's bumping up against the cervix, but it's only when
she feels a bump.
She's definitely feeling something, and I read
there's something poking her.
I did read somewhere that when you have an orgasm and you're pregnant, it makes the baby feel like they're in a hot tub. that they're like little bubbles.
Huh.
So that was cute. I think what was mine.
Will you ever tell your daughter you came while she was in you?
Would five. I or do I?
Is this a conversation people have? I don't have kids. I don't know what people are telling
kids. No, so my daughter's five.
Honesty's the best policy.
Yeah, don't you feel like not having kids that sometimes you're going to say the wrong thing. You don't know how to address the parents with the kids. Like they're a whole nother universe.
I don't really.
Yeah,
care.
You don't know what's okay, or you don't know what's okay to say. I mean, like my daughter, she knows that babies grow inside, uh-huh. you know, a belly. I mean, it's not a belly; it's a uterus, but whatever. That babies grow in the belly, and she hasn't asked further than that. So no, I have not told my 5-year-old
Let's say
that
she
I
turns
came.
21. She's of age. I'm saying.
By
the way, I came a couple times when you were there. You're good friends by this point, God
yeah,
willing.
Yeah, I think if she...
No, you're saying you don't say that.
I
okay,
she
there's some things,
yeah,
honestly, it's not the best policy.
Were to, if she were, I think she'd have to ask.
Yeah. No, asking is
We'd
good.
Have to have a... I think I'm such an expulsive person. I'm such an overshare. I think with her, I've been mindful. Like, she asked... Our dog is 15, that's just a cute story that our dog's 15 and she's doing great. But she asked, why hasn't Wiley ever had puppies? And I was like, because Wiley can't. And she was like, why? And I started to be like, well, Wiley had her uterus taken out. And my husband was like, no. And he was like, she never wanted to. She was focused on her career. But I was about to explain, like, spaying to my kid. Because the medical stuff, you say to your kid, you know, you use the term, the real terms, you use... I try to use the word vulva, which is the correct term for the yeah. entire area. You know, it's not just vagina. But you don't care. Mm. So when you, the whole area to you, it's okay to call that vagina.
Yeah.
But even though it's technically, it's the vagina is just the one hole. Mm. Okay. Anyway,
hey.
I'll say I use medically accurate, non-judgmental terms. And again, to just reiterate, no, I have not told my 5-year-old that I came.
Which, by the way, is better belt. That you haven't.
Yeah.
And by the way, I would leave that in your court, obviously. Obviously.
Now, I'm so convinced you're going to come over to my house now and be like, kid, come here.
Listen. No. I think it would be way worse if your husband told her this one day.
Yeah.
Because he also came while she was there. And that would be way worse, in my opinion. A father should never tell a daughter this.
And look, that's something we've always said here at Love It or Leave It. Hey, question. Influencers are trying to reach uncontacted tribes, like one in the North Sentinel Island. North
Jesus
Sentinel
Christ.
Island.
Someone needs to stop them.
On the one hand, experts call it a human rights abuse. But on the other hand, is it?
Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to get killed. They're going to murder you.
Well, that's bad for you.
Leave but, them just everyone just leave everybody alone.
Would you
just
go on somebody's lawn? You get shot up on the block. I don't go somebody's lawn. I don't do nothing. I walk on the sidewalk, and that's where I am. Never mind some ancient tribe somewhere. You do your thing. Enjoy. I don't even want to know what's going on.
So are they landing there? Or are the influencers? What are they doing?
Well,
are they dropping leaflets?
The influencer had a GoPro and was trying to get content, but then seems to have left without having gotten any contact, but left behind a Diet Coke and a coconut. I don't really know why. I don't think he's like crushing it.
Is it a human rights abuse to leave behind a Diet Coke and a
coconut?
It's
a human rights abuse to contact these tribes because A, there's the possibility of disease, and then B, they are undisturbed. They are isolated tribes. They have not had contact with the rest of civilization, and so it is like to the experts that care about this, it is that the encroachment on their tribes and on their kind of autonomy would be eradicating. It would be genocidal. Like, you have to leave these
Here's
tribes where
There's
they
no
are.
There's no such thing as rules. We made these all up. Okay, so rights, like you're speaking of them, like, is it a human rights? Like, sure, there's morality that we've... But yeah, humans can basically do whatever they want for the time that they're here. There's not really anything... I mean, we have no idea. Like humans, there's nothing stopping anybody from doing anything. Look what's going on in this country. So... Yeah, I mean, it sucks that they would do that. I wouldn't do that to other people. But if other people did it to them, I'd be like, humans can basically do, if you wanted to kill somebody, you could right now. You'd get in trouble. Like, you have to face consequences because right. We have a society set up, but you could do it. It's like when comedians get mad that they can't talk about anything anymore. You hear about the Chappelle, where he's transphobic. Well, you can't say anything anymore. Bro, you could say whatever you want, but there's going to be consequence. Like, you could say, you could be transphobic. You could do whatever you want. Some people might be mad at that. That's what that is. Nobody's saying nobody can't do nothing. You can kill as many people. You can do whatever you want.
Well, no, I think that's...
But there might be consequences. It doesn't mean you cannot do it.
I'm really glad the child has left.
Yeah, no.
Was there a child here?
Yeah, he's gone. I saw him leave. It was a good moment.
I saw
my father take my nephew
okay,
out.
Okay, that's good.
It's because of me?
I think it was at some point where you were doing this. Several different versions.
With
There was this.
You know what?
And then he was gone.
She's saying vulva to a five-year-old.
Well, I mean, yeah. No, it's for me. Sure.
I'm using protection, a Ralph's bag.
How many? All right, let's take a vote. Who is more responsible for my nephew having to leave? Is it Rachel?
It was the pegging.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pegging wasn't
Or great. Was it Robbie? Wow. Wow.
Whatever.
Pretty tough. And here's the thing. Do you think am I going to hear about this later? What do we think? Mom?
Am I in trouble?
I'm in trouble? Stephanie? Is your son, am I in trouble?
Stephanie, I apologize.
Wait. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
John, I'm sending him to you with the questions.
The questions can all come to me. He's going to have questions.
But here's the whole thing. You invite people that know me. Come on.
I don't think they know you.
No, but I'm saying this is a grown-up comedy show. This is what people are doing with kids. And then I'm in trouble.
I'm at a comedy club. No one's getting you in trouble. To be clear, you're doing your job.
I'm sorry. Mom and I took a picture backstage. Are you mad at me? I used a bag. It's safety. Do you understand? It's actually better. One day you'll all thank me. I promise you this. Your kids are asking you.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. What's a money lesson that you learned the hard way? I have one, which is I spent years saying like, oh, I'm going to figure out investing tomorrow. I'm going to figure it out tomorrow. And it's stupid, especially when you're young because of compound interest. You got to start. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news is you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you have is spare change. You can create your Acorns account and start investing in just 5 minutes. Financial wellness is within reach. Acorn gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. Acorn does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Look, here's the thing. It's important, and I definitely think it feels overwhelming to figure out how to invest, but that's because a lot of what you see is people being stupid And really, you don't need to know a lot and you don't need to do a lot of complicated things. You just need to invest into a kind of diversified portfolio that basically tracks the market. There's a lot of different ways to do that. But once you do that, you just leave your money alone and you don't touch it. And if Donald Trump had done that with the money he inherited, he'd be richer today than he is because he is so bad at business. You know, you want to be like Donald Trump? I don't think so. I don't think so. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/love it, download the app, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/love it.
So, Robbie, you got married early this year. Rachel, we were talking about this backstage. You've been married for 17 years.
I've been with my husband for 17. I've been married for 10.
Wow.
Tips? Any tips?
Yeah, any tips?
Just communicate. I think most of it is luck. I just met the right person at the right time. But also, we just are open with each other and we communicate really well and we respect each other and we make the subtext text the best that we can.
That's sharp.
And you have to keep having sex. That's also very important.
Yeah.
And how long have you been married?
I've been married for 3 months.
any tips?
Yeah, I agree. I got lucky type of thing. I mean, I love the hang. I used to keep like girlfriends separate from, like, I would go out or be with my friends, but I love to hang out with Gabby as well. So now it feels like I get to be like high school girls that touch each other. And the whole thing is very erotic and it's fantastic and we're best friends, but we also touch each other.
Yeah, same.
So it's like I get that whole, like, I used to think it was gay when people said, I'm marrying my best friend. I'm like,
you used to think it was gay?
Yeah, like not gay like that. Just because I say something's gay doesn't mean it's gay.
Like, you mean like 90s gay, like the pejorative.
Yeah,
gay.
Like the chair is gay. Obviously, it's velvet. It's not gay. Who cares? But you know what? We're best friends who fool around. And she's also my baby and I'm her baby. And we don't want kids. And we just get to be everything for each other. It's really been a great few years with her.
And you got married in Vegas?
We did.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, we were evacuated for the fires. And by day 3 or 4 there, she was saying, first of all, they hooked us up with a free room. Because at first we couldn't find a room. We were supposed to be evacuated. We had to go to, I was looking, Palm Springs or Joshua Tree, whatever's close by, they told us to call. And we couldn't hear back from the hotels if there's a room. I said, babe, you know where they have rooms? No problem, 24/7, Vegas. An hour and a half more, we go there. She had a hookup. We get into the room, Resorts World, shout out, never heard of them. And then, and we had like, it reminded me of Hacks, actually. It was like a wedding suite. And she was like, should we get married? I'm like, oh, the fire's talking. She's, you know, she has the, because I don't want her to get too emotional, you know, because I've been saying it since I met her, but I don't like when it comes from her. I'm like, oh, she's getting something's, it's not. And then by day 3, she was like, I am going to Neiman Marcus and buying a dress. And I'm like, okay, I got to go to Cartier. And we just had the greatest wedding. Like, we can't recommend it enough. And you know what? Should I tell you a secret?
Yes.
I actually can't believe I'm really doing this. By the time this comes out, so we're actually legally getting married tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. We found out that our Vegas wedding, we're married in Nevada, which, no shade to Nevada. I love the state, great state of Nevada. Well, we don't live there.
Wait, does so that we're not doing count on a federal level?
No, there's like 5 states where it does not count. And Nevada is one of them. That's why so many people like get married in Nevada, because it's like you could technically just be married there if you, you know, it's like an easier wedding to do. So
so you're legally getting married in California on Friday.
Tomorrow, Shabbos, yeah.
Wow.
How, what are you doing?
I can't say, but
okay.
Oh, it's just going to be us two again as usual. Right? Nice. It's our favorite wedding. Like, if you can get married, just the two of you. I mean, my brother Shmuley called me. He's like, I can't come to the wedding. I said, no.
I have to tell you something. Rachel talked about pegging in front of my nephew. You advocating for a wedding where my parents aren't there.
Right.
My mother's going to come on this stage and fucking kill you.
Right. But so your parents like gay people?
Yes.
Yeah, so my parents, it's like they don't even really... It's not really a thing. And then she's not with her mother and her father's military. They're still trying to figure out. So we're like, you know what? Take your time. just take your time. Do you. We'll do us. And honestly, we went to the all-you-can-eat buffet at the Wynn Hotel. I can't recommend it enough.
Oh, a great buffet.
I can't recommend it enough.
I went to Vegas.
Crab legs, whatever you want.
Oh, it's incredible. I went to Vegas before the 2020 caucuses in Nevada, stayed at the Wynn. It turned out 2 weeks before everything shut down. I walked into that buffet. I ate basically two meals in Las Vegas. Both of them were my one meal a day by myself.
Yep.
I went to the Wynn buffet by myself.
Yep.
And ate enough in a 30-minute span that I did not eat until the next time I went to the Wynn
no,
buffet.
No, it's a one meal a day. Yeah, yeah. No, it's, yeah.
I remember the first time I grew up in LA. And so we started going to Vegas, I don't know, I think the first time I was five. But the first time I registered a buffet, maybe actually this is when I was five. And I just remember the first time going into the Luxor Pharaoh's Feast and being like, this is the height of food. This is the pinnacle of food. And it showed me the beauty of binge eating. And so I started to eat a bunch of meals, even outside of Vegas, as if I was still at the Pharaoh's Feast, which culminated in a couple times of me eating so much that I then threw up.
Wow.
This is not an origin story of I didn't have binge eating disorder. I just really liked
sounds like
free rice and cookies.
Yeah. I'd say you let... The Pharaoh said, let my lunch go.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to bring it back to
that
Pesach.
That was really, really good.
I know, they got nothing. Pearls before swine.
Wait, do you think the Luxor should do like a whole Passover thing?
Ugh.
Absolutely.
Where they like reenact.
I love an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Like, what if they make a bunch of Jewish people repair things at the Luxor for the... For like the week, like you get a bunch of Jewish people and you say, hey, yes. We have a leaky faucet in this room. Like the entire cleaning staff is just a bunch of Jewish people.
Yes, that's a good
idea.
And then
there's a day where they release them.
Yep.
No, it's a cool idea for
and
sure.
Then you feel great.
And you split the Bellagio fountain, and all of the Jewish people.
Yes.
Who've been working in the Luxor pyramid all week. Get to bathe in the Bellagio fountain.
This might be the greatest idea I've ever heard.
It's awesome. That's awesome.
Please take it.
We should really do this. If we wanted to actually have fun, if Jews actually wanted to have fun, we would reenact being slaves in Egypt and being freed.
Yeah.
At the Luxor. Absolutely.
At the Luxor.
Absolutely. If we really wanted to have fun, if we really wanted a good time.
Well, we don't want a good time
anymore.
We don't
want a good time.
No.
We're afraid of a good time.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Jews. That's a perfect transition to the next part of our show. Robbie and Rachel, I think it's fair to say that it's part of our collective Jewish heritage to shy away from exhibiting any traits that goyim might consider cliche. For example, using the word goyim in front of the goyim. However, in the spirit of Passover, I wanted to give all of us an opportunity tonight to lighten our mental load by embracing some Semitic stereotypes in a segment we're calling If the Jew Fits.
That's great.
I will serve up a Jewish stereotype, and Robbie and Rachel, you'll tell us whether or not the stereotype resonates with you. First up, complaining, kvetching. What's wrong with complaining?
Complain is to enjoy. To me, they're one and the same. I could be on a yacht and find it too shaky. It means I'm enjoying, I'm alive, I'm in the experience.
There's something that I find baffling. Why are Jews so cold?
Or hot.
But my family, you can't be under a draft. My grandfather, when my mom was growing up, they would have to restaurant hop if the restaurant was too cold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we come from, I mean, some of, I don't know.
Because we're a desert people.
Look, if we're talking OG desert people, so I guess it's not. But it gets cold in the desert too. I was going to say, In Europe, too.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So it depends how long your DNA is remembering back. I just think Jews are cold.
They are cold. We were in Mexico at a really nice hotel over the holidays.
Excuse me.
Not to brag, we've been to Mexico. But
Jewish president.
Oh, there is the Jewish president.
Claudia Sheinbaum.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Her family. Yep, she's a Ashkenazi. Her parents. I don't know if they were survivors, but anyway, Ashkenazi Jewish ballet dancer, climate scientist, president of Mexico.
Shkoyach. Wow. I wish her well.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can have. But so we're there, and we're sitting at this, and we watch. We were there around Hanukkah, so we knew who all the Jews were because we had done a candle lighting. And so then we're sitting at this table and we watch just Jewish family after Jewish family just say no to this one table. They just got walked to the table. Ari remembers this. And they were like, nope. And they would get walked to another table. And then another Jewish family came. They tried to say that. Nope. It was behind a pole. They couldn't see the view. What? Moved. Three Jewish families said no to this table. And then a lovely, very clearly not Jewish couple are sat at this table. They eat their whole meal. And they're so happy. And at the end, the man said the most kind of Christian thing I've ever heard, which is he turned to the waiter and said, would you please send the chef our compliments? I don't think a Jew's ever said that.
No. I always have envy for these type of people because it takes me so much. I feel like it's like if you get started watching porn, then you need crazier and crazier porn. These type of people. It's like sometimes I'm on a plane. I was on a plane next to just a regular Midwestern type of lady. She must have been mid-50s. She ordered Pinot Grigio, whatever. She's watching Mall Cop 2. Not Mall Cop 1, Mall Cop 2. Kevin James in a mall.
Paul
on a
Blart, the Paul Blart one.
What?
Paul Blart. Go on.
Paul Blart?
I don't know.
Was it Paul Blart?
Kevin James.
Yeah. It's Paul Blart. I don't know. I don't know why I'm connected. It feels like I'm correcting Kevin James' pronouns, but I'm not. It's just, it's Paul. I think it's Paul Blart. Blart.
Have you seen King of Queens? I love that show. Anyway, this lady is sitting next to me. I'm middle seat. This lady, it's like, even the setup to any joke, she's already dying. She's like plot stout. Like, she's like fucking dying. Then as soon as the joke hits, whatever their slapstick stupidity falls off the thing, the wine is everywhere. Like she's dying at this movie. And meanwhile, I'm still looking for something to watch. It takes me so long to find something. And this lady could just throw on whatever's there and enjoy her life. And I have an envy for these people.
Absolutely. No, I know. It is. There's something about it's beautiful. You're just sort of like, that's so cool.
They just enjoy so much.
I still get like that when it comes, like, I will rewatch any of the Austin Powers and I'm back to being in middle school. And like a couple weeks ago, I was like, my daughter has to see Austin Powers. And so I turn on Austin Powers 2 and the first thing is like fat bastard having just fucked Heather Graham. And I'm like, nope, never mind. Yeah. She will not see Austin Powers. When I was pregnant, by the way, I would do a fat bastard voice all the time. I would go like, I'd be like, oh, my baby. It was so fun where I was like, my baby is kicking my bladder. Oh. It's like actually the main reason to have another kid, just to be able to go around and do that.
How old's the nephew?
How old is Bennett?
Benny, how old are you?
Oh, he's back?
Oh,
shit.
Oh, you're only 9?
Yeah,
what is...
Yeah.
No, bro, 9 is too young.
Wait, you're 10. You're 9?
No, 9 is really
when
young.
Is 10?
And actually, I can't guarantee my performance.
I thought we... Then why did we... Oh, it was his 3/4 birthday at Hogwarts.
I thought he would be 13. 9 is too young, and I can't guarantee. Well, I'm an R-rated performer.
Sorry, you're going to record a live comedy show at Hogwarts?
No. We just went to...
I was like, how did you get in there? Muggles can't access it.
Okay, at this point, the onus is on you. I am not myself a parent. I don't really care. Okay, so the onus is on you, and all the responsibility is with you, and I feel fine being me. Thank you.
I thought he was 10. All right. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Bombas. What have I told you the most important part of your spring cleaning routine is your sock drawer? Yep, you heard that right. It's time to ditch any mismatched, tired pairs and refresh your collection with some fresh Bombas. I actually really did this, and I got rid of every sock I have that's not Bombas. I have only Bombas, and it's fantastic. So now my spring cleaning, I'm going into the kitchen, John.
Nice.
I'm getting rid of a bunch of old spatulas. I'm fully Gwyneth. I'm moving away from plastic and silicone. It's only stainless steel from here on out. I'm moving away from
plastics.
No more microplastics. I saw an article about how there's microplastics in my fucking olive oil. The one I use. It's over.
Anyway, were you talking about socks?
Unlock your new running hobby. Bombas engineers blister-fighting, sweat-wicking athletic socks that help you go from the first mile to the whole marathon. A nice pair to wear at a wedding. Bombas dress socks are made for loafers, heels, and all your other fancy shoes. And for your other spring cleaning chores, Bombas has the cushion arch-hugging pairs that will keep you comfy while you spruce up the house. That's what I'm wearing right now. You know what goes great with new spring socks? Fresh white t-shirts, waterproof slides. I have those. And a few pairs of buttery soft underwear. Bombas makes all that too. Best part?
Buttery soft underwear.
Oh, okay. All right. He's just wearing old potato sacks down there.
Buttery. Soft, I like.
It's just hay.
Buttery?
Buttery soft underwear. Bombas is going international. Enjoy worldwide shipping for over 200 countries. Head over to bombas.com/loveit and use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. This is, I'm telling you, switch. bombas.com/loveit. Use code loveit. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage. It's my actual mother, Fran Lovett, and my actual future mother-in-law, Wendy Schwartz.
Wow!
Careful, careful.
Well, look Hello. At this. Are you
hi,
mad at me?
Hi, welcome to LA. Hi, hi,
Are
hi.
You mad at me? Okay.
Let's sit there. I'm going to stay over here just because we don't have enough space. All right. Okay, sit down. It's great. Thank you. Mother?
You both look really great.
You look lovely.
Beautiful.
When you speak, just bring the mics up when you speak. Mother?
Yes, dear.
Wendy?
Yes.
They say you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. You two literally met today, right? You briefly spoke. Did you cross paths at the house before the show?
We did cross paths, yes.
You've really never had a real conversation, so it's time for a segment we're calling Meet the Makatunim. Makatunim is a Yiddish word that doesn't exist in English, but should, as it means my child's spouse's parents. Moms, I will provide you with questions, and I'll be checking in with Robbie and Rachel throughout to get their perspective on how well this bit is going. Are you both ready? Mom, kick it off.
I'm asking this to Wendy?
That's correct.
Okay. Wendy,
you want to
pull it? Mic closer.
When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
What, if anything?
No, you have to answer now. No, you have to. No, Wendy, you've been asked a question. The question was the question. Wendy, when is the last time you sang to yourself or to someone else?
This week.
Well, what'd you sing?
I sang a Jewish song that I really like in the shower.
Oh, what was the song?
Oseh Shalom.
Oh. And you were singing that to yourself in the shower?
Yep.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
Mother, when was the last time you sang a song?
It's been a while. I don't have a very good voice.
All right, Wendy, over to you.
Okay.
You're asking me this. Okay.
What if anything is too serious to be joked about?
I'm a Netflix comedian. Like, I don't perform the children. I'm sorry. He didn't tell me.
But you also, you do come from children's TV.
When I worked in children's TV, I wasn't doing this.
Well,
I'm an Emmy award-winning children's writer, as a matter of fact.
Mother, what if anything is too serious to be joked about?
Well, I don't like when people have jokes and they hurt other people's feelings. So.
Okay, yeah. That's nice. Now, Mom, you ask a question to Wendy. Yes. It's a simple format. Both very smart women. I think you're going to get the hang of it.
I think there's only two more questions.
We kept it pretty tight.
Okay. Oh, this is so sad. Okay, Wendy. Your house containing everything you own catches fire. And after saving your loved ones and pets, and you have time to safely make a final dash to save one item, what would it be and why?
Oh, wow. probably some jewelry from my you know, heritage, from my family.
Some jewelry from the family. Mm-hmm. Well, so that jewelry had come a long way from, because of, you know.
Yeah, from my mom, most likely, or my grandma.
Okay.
You said you know, but we don't know.
Well, just there. Some of this, I don't know what jewelry this was, but it could be jewelry that made it on the other side of the Holocaust is what I was getting
at. Yeah, no, none of that.
I was going to say, I was trying to let you bring up the
Holocaust.
I can tell when someone is about to bring up the Holocaust.
It could have been his side's jewelry. I didn't know what jewelry it was. I just thought if it made it all the way through the Holocaust, you'll grab it in a fire.
Well, it's probably a sentimental.
No, I understand it's sentimental. Yeah. I don't think she's getting it to melt it down and sell it.
Now, Mom, what do you think about him bringing up the Holocaust to make her feel such a pain for no reason? She wasn't even thinking. Her head wasn't even there.
I know.
I wasn't there.
Good time.
Yeah, the time wasn't great.
So, Fran, what would you save?
Oh, you're asking me what I'd save? Well, that was your question, Wendy. You have this one.
No, you asked. Mom, you're just meeting. Don't be a bitch. What would you save in a fire?
Well, I probably would save all my photos. I mean, that's, you know, what I love the most.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Okay, that's a good answer. All right, Wendy, you want to ask the last one?
Well, no, I want to ask you a question. Okay. You lived the fire. What did you decide to save?
Well, we didn't really, I mean, there was no fire near us. We just left because the power went out. But still, we didn't have any Wi-Fi. Wendy, do you want to ask my mom the last question?
Okay, Fran. What do you value most in a friendship?
I value most in a friendship would be honesty and someone who's there for you and some laughter. You know, all that's good.
That's very nice. A lot of pathos from you tonight.
A lot of what?
There was just a lot. When she read that question about the house burning down, it was like she was really there. Did anybody else catch that? It's like a real performance.
Should we ask questions?
If you'd like.
What are both of your thoughts on God?
Thank you, moms. You did an amazing job. And because I need you both to love each other. Those questions were all from the famous New York Times list of 36 questions that lead to love. One more time for are you in love? Okay. thank you, Mom. Thank you, Wendy. Okay. When we come back, we'll spin the wheel. And we're back. What makes this month different from all other months? We're offering a 30-day trial of Cricut's Friends of the Pod subscription. No commitment, just a full month of ad-free listening and exclusive content totally free, which is pretty tough to pass over. Subscribe to Friends of the Pod. It is truly the best way to support our mission of building a progressive counterweight to the right. We appreciate all of our subscribers. We have a great community. If you haven't joined yet, please do us a favor and sign up. There's a bunch of great shows that you can only get by signing up. There's a great community you can only be part of by signing up. With your subscription, you get ad-free episodes of Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save America, and Pod Save the World, plus exclusive shows like Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer. You also join our Discord community. Let my people go ad-free. Sign up at crooked.com/friends to start your free trial. Next week, I'll be joined by Bob the Drag Queen, Bradley Whitford, and Jessica Kirsten at Dynasty Typewriter Servino.
Jessica Kirsten is so funny.
Such fun. It's going to be a great show.
It's fantastic.
Crooked.com/events will be that's next week.
Do not bring kids.
At Dynasty. It's not like someone else brought kids. I did it. I did this. It's my fault. I'm the one that's going to pay.
Like, if I worked at a real company, I could go to HR for this. Like, let's say, like, this was really my company, and there's, like, a kid that's, like, I do grown-up stuff. It's like having a at a construction place, you just let some lady walk in without shoes on. It's like a violate, you know what I mean? It's, it's like dangerous.
I feel like
it's a liability.
I just want to stop you. If you think that the audience needs an analogy to understand why talking about pegging in front of children is frowned upon, they got it.
By the way, did I say peg? She brought
it
peg.
It was all me. It was all me. And you know
I
what?
I said with plastic wrap, not
no,
even
no,
peg.
Not going back to it. We're moving on. Next.
To be clear, I was talking about the character Peg Bundy.
Bennett, a
from,
little Ben.
From the wonderful series Married with Children. Played. No, it was by Katie
Bennett,
Seagal.
It's a little bag.
Bennett.
She wore, she wore a lot of leopard
now it's time
pants.
Now,
Peg
now
Peg
it's
Bundy.
Time to end this dater. With a
There's
spin.
Nothing wrong with a human body. You're exploring.
It's time
so Peg
to
Bundy,
spin.
She would go, ow. She'd go, ow.
Dianu wheel.
She'd go, ow.
Dianu. Dianu.
It's like if you're going to have your kids try alcohol, have it at your house. You get to see them. You regulate them. Give them some Manischewitz. You don't want them
Here's
out there.
Here's how the Dianu wheel works.
I actually wasn't allowed to watch Married with Children as a kid. So that's actually, that doesn't even work.
I wasn't allowed to watch it either. And you remember I would sneak in to watch it.
I watched Oz at 10.
Oh my God. Jesus.
My brother Levy had it on and it was a fantastic show.
I would sneak MTV's Undressed.
Oh yes!
Remember?
Well, MTV Undressed was an amazing show. It was designed to hook children. It was basically a drug.
100%.
Because every episode had three ongoing stories, and every episode, each story was in a different place. So the stories would have three beats, and so each episode, a story would be at the beginning, a story would be in the middle, a story would be at the end.
Have you written a spec of Undressed? You know a lot about the structure.
I know, this is unusual.
But what was amazing about Undressed is once in a while there would be a gay storyline.
I remember
there
this.
We go.
But and it was the only place on television that you could regularly happen upon two boys kissing, but.
And what's, Bennett has to hear about this.
But what was interesting about Undressed, and if you go, this is just from memory, truly just from memory of it airing at the time, but basically they would show heterosexual kisses close up. But when they showed a gay kiss, they would cut really far away. So the gay kisses were always wide. And it was like, sucked.
Yeah, that's so, I wonder what that, because it's cable, right? And so it's not like they were trying to fit into FCC guidelines. This is boring. I had a network show for 4 years, so I got to know intimately what the FCC allows and doesn't allow on network TV and what standards and practices will and will not allow. But it's not.
They did the right thing.
Yeah, they did.
So yeah. Here's how the Dianu.
There's a time and a place. There's a time and a place. For kids, for gays, for different things. Let's just all have some decorum and respect for one another.
Can I also say, for the record, though, my 5-year-old completely understands gay people. It's not for anyone who's like, how are you going to make... For anyone who's like, don't kiss in front of my kid, are you going to make me explain gay people to my kid? It's really easy. You just say, some men love men and some women love women. They go, okay. It's true.
The first time I heard about a trans person or anything like that was our cousin Pinsky, who was enormous. He was the size of the car, and he was the greatest guy. And he would come to visit us, and I don't even know how he's my cousin. But it's like Pinsky's in, he's got candy, and so we're in. And Pinsky showed up. His girlfriend must have been 6'4". So we're like, this is the tallest lady we've ever seen. And we went up to my mother, and my mother was just like making. And I'm like, Ma, what's up with this? Like, and we were like all asking her, like me and my brother's from us, like, why? Like, Binsky's girlfriend is so tall. Like, just the tallest girl we ever seen. And we kept saying, how tall are you? You're a kid. How tall are you? You know, and she was happy to tell us and whatever. And I was like, what's with Binsky? And she goes, she was born a boy, and now she's a girl. And I'm like, okay. And it totally made it sense. It made it, that's why she's tall. Like, it was like, oh, I must have been like 5 or 6 years old. I'm like, oh, makes sense. And we all moved on. That was the end of that. There was no follow-up. I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then we just, yeah. And so, and he just was like, he was with the trans woman for years and years. We never knew she was a trans. We never even had that language, but we just knew she's a boy. Now she likes to be a girl. And, but it never came up past that again. It was just like, we figured it out. So it's very easy. And then you don't have, if you make it a bigger deal, it's like if a kid falls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's fine. If you make it a big deal, oh, what happened? Da, da, da. They're going to be screaming, crying.
It's almost like we need to take the whole conservative movement and just when, and then show them a bunch of trans and gay people and just go, you're okay. It's no big yeah. deal. You're okay. You're fine.
Yeah.
Just, you're going to get up and run around and have a good time with your friend. You're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're a tough little guy. You're okay.
Exactly. It's like, oh, and they just want to like know what happened. Like everybody just, it's just, it's a, yeah, I agree to some extent. That said.
Nope. We got to spin. Now it's time for the Dianu wheel. Wait, here's how it works. We're going to spin the wheel and we'll each have 1 minute to talk about something that we've had enough of. Dianu. Oh, it's spinning. It has landed on Robbie. What's something you've had enough of?
You know what it is? Unless you get a new phone. So somebody texts you and then you go, I'm sorry, who's this? And they take it so personal. Like, I'm not saving numbers, bro. Like, it takes me a whole thing to go new, add contact, do it. It's like, why can't I ask who's this, even if I know you and we're friends? Like, what's the big... It's like, you don't know my phone situation. Like, you don't know. Like, maybe I just down... Maybe I just got a new phone. Maybe I just never save numbers. I used to like to memorize numbers, so I never used to save numbers. Now it's too many numbers to memorize. But I'm like, just throw me a name. Like, bro, like, it's not that personal.
Yeah, it's enough.
It's enough, Dianu. If like Dianu. Somebody says, if you message somebody and they say, oh, no problem, who's this? Don't go, oh my God, it's this. It's like, great, I'm thrilled to hear from you. It's like, what? There's no problem here.
There's no
Why
problem
make
here.
Problems with this problems, Dianu? We Dianu. Have enough problems.
Enough problems.
We have, don't borrow trouble.
Dianu. Let's spin it again.
Perfectly rigged.
Oh, wow.
Rachel, you're up. What is something you'd like to say, Dianu, to?
Human beings in groups. Except in a theater. I don't think, other than when it's groups of people gathered for positivity, which can be very powerful, I think something tribal happens when you get human beings into groups. And this is in person. This is... social media, I just think that there's the group mob thinking is very, very, is very alarming to
but
me.
At the same time, community is fantastic.
But that's, I guess that's, when you talk about community, I guess like that's for a good cause. I guess what I'm saying is I'm over human beings and their adrenaline being up when they're in groups. Something happens when you kick in the lizard fear brain in groups of people. And I was reading an art, this is, I sound like I'm 70. I was reading an article in the New York Times about George Orwell and how everyone across the political spectrum loves to say, this is Orwellian, right? They love to think that George Orwell would be on their side, right? That George Orwell would, no, he'd be liberal or he'd be conservative. But George Orwell was actually very mistrustful generally of systems, of codified systems, of groups. And I guess that makes me Orwellian right now.
Hell yeah. Nice.
I know that's not a funny answer, but...
It doesn't need to be. It's true.
Dianu, I think human beings on an individual one-to-one level are very redeemable.
I like a group hang, though.
I like a group hang. I like a like positive...
Like, someone's a one-on-one. It's too much pressure.
I like
a positive
group.
Who's all going to be there?
I guess what I'm talking
Remember
about
flash mobs? When everybody would get together and do a dance at the mall?
So I guess I'm saying human beings in groups when it's not something like positive
or community.
Four or five
people watching a movie is a good time.
You know what? I don't know. You're right. I think
you heat up some pizza bagels.
Pizza bagels?
I like groups.
The mini pizza bagels? 14 minutes.
I guess I didn't think this through. I like people in groups when it's positive. There's just something about...
You don't like to shit talk?
I love to shit talk.
Okay, you ever get somebody, there's some good tea going on.
Oh, I love it.
I love
great.
To hear the tea.
You're right.
Hit me with the tea.
Dianu,
Let's spin it one more time and see who it's going to land on. It has landed on me. Here's what I would like to say, Diane Utu. It's a very specific thing. It is the increasing number of inanimate objects that people are referring to as she or her. I have grown sick of it. It's getting my hackles up. It's getting something. It's turning something. It's making me uncomfortable. It's making me nervous. I'll see a social media video, the way all the kids would say it, of someone will get a new person say, look at her. I love her. Okay. Then it's somebody makes, I don't know, like a chicken dish. And there's like, look at her. She's beautiful. About a chicken dish. I saw somebody make a dining room table and say, look at her, she's beautiful. It's enough. It was weird when it was just boats. It's weird that it's sometimes countries, but not all countries, because some of the countries are men.
What are the lady countries?
America.
People are saying, like, I love her?
Yeah.
My God, I need to be more on...
But Germany's a man.
It's giving chauvinistic.
It is giving chauvinistic.
No, you! You don't like these things, girl?
Wow. You know what that was?
What's wrong with the chicken?
That was conversationally, you put a carrot in a box, and I grab the carrot, I'm stuck in the box. You really? No, because...
This is... We forget that gay men are men. We forget this. It's an important
reminder. That is true. Some of the most chauvinistic things ever said to me have been said by gay men.
Thank you.
Well, absolutely.
The gay male gaze is very real. And it's withering.
Well,
yes. Thank you.
Well, like a truly misogynistic gay man is so much more dangerous than a misogynistic straight man, because you truly have nothing to offer the misogynistic gay man.
Exactly. Yeah. They've been some of the meanest people, because they're like, you give me nothing. You give me nothing. And so you're just a face of flab and wrinkles that gives me nothing. I don't want to fuck you. I just see you as an imperfect canvas.
It's just a true story.
And I think that's a wonderful place to say Dainu for that, because we have to put a stop to that. That is our show. Incredible.
And the Rachel gay men Bloom. Misogyny.
Incredible.
If
Robbie
I, if
Hoffman.
If I have to ask you who it
Wendy
is, it's
Schwartz,
okay.
Wendy Schwartz, Fran Lovett.
Give it up to Bennett. Give it up to Bennett.
Bennett. There are a lot of days until the next election, but not as many as there were last week. We will see you next week at Dynasty. Have a great night. Thank you for coming out.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer, and Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski, for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat. Our head of programming is Madeline Herringer. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.